Have you ever been in a car accident? Ever been in a car accident? Man, they happen fast. They happen really fast. Of course, happening fast happens faster when you're doing 85 like I was. 85 tends to make things happen a lot faster, I guess. I was on my way from Collegedale up to see the cutest red-haired girl in the whole world. And I wanted to get there in a hurry. And I came down this hill and hit some water in my 1964 Falcon. No seat belts. Didn't even come with them. There were no seat belts. And I hit that water and immediately, at least it seemed, I was doing 85 mile an hour backwards down the freeway. And slowly moving toward the center. Fortunately, there wasn't any other cars around because it was rainy and I guess they didn't want to be out there. And as I went down into the median, I thought to myself, this is not going to be good. And I was right. It was not good. I went down into the median, and as I got down to the median, it kind of, right in the middle, it had a ditch. And so as my back tire went down into that ditch, it made my bumper low enough to catch, and the whole car, end over end, went like that. Yeah. And suddenly, faster than I could guess, the windshield went white. And I thought, what happened? Why'd the windshield go white? And then it occurred to me that I had gone over on the roof and it had just broken the windshield. And so now I'm sliding along on the top of my car. Whee! I was the only one in it, fortunately. I slid along for a while and finally came to rest almost into the oncoming traffic on the freeway. And so when I got stopped, I looked around and I was puzzled still. You know, things were happening so fast. I was still puzzled by, why is all my stuff on the ceiling? Real brainiac here, right? And so it finally occurred to me again, you turned over, you're sitting on the roof of your car. And then it was that I realized that my arms hurt. Not because I had broken them or had any terrible things happen to them in the accident, but because I was going on the steering wheel, and they were beginning to ache, holding myself in with everything I had, you know. And so I said, oh, well, I guess since I'm stopped now, I can let go bad thought. Because I still had forgotten, you're upside down, and you don't have a seatbelt. Guess where my head ended up? Yeah, on the ceiling of my car with my body following in hot pursuit. Yeah. And so then I rubbed my head in chagrin, rolled the window up, which of course was down, and climbed out and looked back, and I had gone, man, like 2 football fields from where I'd hit the water and started into this whole fiasco. But it happened so fast. And like most of you, my thinking was, this could never happen to me. Right? This could never happen to me. I think of a 94-year-old woman who outlived her savings. And I'm sure she thought, that could never happen to me. When the doctor called me up and said, "Your test came back positive. You have cancer." Wait, you must have mixed up the lab results or something. This could never happen to me. Turn with me to Matthew 24. There's a whole pile of people in this discourse that thought, this could never happen to me. No way this could happen to me. This could never happen to me. Look at Matthew chapter 24. Are you with me? Let me hear an amen out there. Are you with me? All right. I want you turning with me in the Bible there. That's the Word of God. What you're hearing is just, you know, filtered through some guy. What you're reading is the Word of God, right? So, Matthew chapter 24, verse 39. Speaking about the days of Noah, let's go back actually to verse 37. But as it was in the days of Noah, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. What were they doing? What were they doing? Going through life, just doing their thing, right? Just doing their normal day-to-day lives, absorbed in the everyday. But something happened. Something happened. Verse 39, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. It could never happen to us. Flood? Come on. It's never flooded. What is this flood business? Come on. Get real, Noah. Flood? Let's get serious. That couldn't happen. But it did. Look at verse 43. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. The master of the house had no idea. He was totally unaware. Wasn't expecting it. Wasn't ready for it. Did not know. Couldn't happen to me. Been trying to decide, do I need an alarm system on my house, you know? I don't know. The temptation to say, oh, it couldn't happen to me, right? Couldn't happen to me. But then again, I've seen where people have had their cars broken into in my neighborhood. How long before it's a house? And then I've talked with Fred. Where's Fred? I just saw him here a minute ago. Fred's given me all these horror stories about people whose doors are kicked in, so he's out there having lots to do because he's fixing kicked-in doors. If the master of the house had known, see, if I get an alarm system, then I would know, right? I don't know. What about verse 46? What about verse 46? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Yeah, there you go. So we need to be knowing our place. Assuredly, I say to you, that he will make him ruler of all his goods. But, verse 48, if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, not looking for him. Couldn't be today. Couldn't happen today. Couldn't happen to me. I just can't imagine that. Just couldn't happen to me. What about those virgins in chapter 25? The virgins, the wise and the foolish virgins in chapter 25. Look at verse 6. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." What? Midnight? Huh? No, can't come at midnight. That's no time for a wedding. What do you mean he's coming at midnight? The bridegroom's coming? It couldn't happen. Not now. And these virgins were sleeping, unprepared, unready. What about the sheep and the goats later on? Those sheep and the goats later on in the chapter. Look at verse 37. You know there were good sheep and there were not so good goats, right? And in verse 37 it said, then the righteous, the sheep, right? The righteous, in verse 37, will answer him saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you drink?" They didn't know when it had happened. They were unprepared, but they did what was right. They did what they were supposed to be doing, yeah? And then again, though, verse 44. Then they also, meaning the unrighteous, the goats, verse 44, then they also will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?" And so all of them were surprised. Did you notice that not only were the goats surprised, but the sheep were surprised too? Did you notice that not only the foolish virgins, but the wise also were surprised? Surprise, surprise. Could never happen to us. What does Jesus tell us we should be doing then? Going back, looking again at Noah's day. Noah's day, Matthew chapter 24, verse 42. Matthew 24, verse 42. Are you with me? Watch therefore. What does Jesus say we should do? Watch therefore. For you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. We can learn from what happened in Noah's day. Matthew 24, 44. What did he say about the master of the house? Therefore, you also be ready. Therefore, you also be ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. What about that drunken servant? Let's look at verse 46. Blessed is the servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. He's prepared. He's ready. He's thinking about it. He is knowing, yeah, this could happen. I believe this could happen. I believe this could happen to me. Yeah, I could have a car accident if I do something stupid, like do an 85 on a wet road. Yeah, I could have an accident, even me. We can learn from the virgins, verse 13. Chapter 25, verse 13. Watch, therefore, Jesus says, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. And so in all of these cases, we see that we are to watch, we are to be ready, we are to live like we believe it. Because too often we live like we don't believe it. It could never happen to us. Jesus couldn't come back now. One of my favorite cartoons that I've ever seen is a guy standing on a hill. And he's evidently got a chart. You know, He's got this chart with arrows pointing all over it and, you know, timeline thingies all over it and everything. And he's looking at the chart. And he looks at the chart and he looks up in the sky. And as he looks up in the sky, there's these three angels flying by with these trumpets. And then in the background, there's lots of angels, clearly the coming of Jesus. And he's looking at the chart and he's looking up in the sky and he's looking at the chart and he looks back in the sky and he says, "You're too early." Are we telling God you're too early? This couldn't happen in our day? And so we get absorbed in day-to-day living. We become totally aware. Could we even be drunken servants? That's kind of scary. But it seems to me that we can be drunk with other things than just wine, alcohol, drunk with entertainment, maybe drunk with all kinds of things. Or maybe we're just sleeping. Maybe we're just not paying attention to what's going on. We're just not aware. And so, we need to be ready. How does one get ready? How do we get ready? How do we live like we believe Jesus has come? If I were able to tell you right now, and I can't, but if I could tell you right now, for sure, Jesus told me last night in a dream he's coming in 1 year. I can't tell you that. I wish I could. Maybe he is. Maybe he's coming sooner. I don't know. But if I could tell you for sure he was coming within 1 year. Within 1 year. I don't know just when, but within 1 year. If I could tell you that for sure, what would your next week look like? What would your next month look like? How would you live? That guy you'd been meaning to talk to at work? Yeah, I really need to, you know, find a time to talk to that guy. You know, I just, you know, it hasn't been the right time. Tomorrow you'd be in the office going, "Hey, Bill, let me tell you something, brother. Let me tell you something. Because I know I've only got this much time now. It's a year or less, man, and I got to tell you. I got something you need to know." Now, it's real tempting to be cavalier about it and say, "Well, I wouldn't live any different at all." Yeah, I thought that too about cancer until I got it. You know, I did. I thought, "Oh, man, you know, if I had some terrible disease, I would just, you know, I'll just go, man, I'll tough it out." Yeah, like fun. I went home and cried like a baby. You know? How would we get ready? Would you read your Bible more? Would you make sure you were having prayer? Would it be that important that you did that little vacuuming, you know, as you went out the door, you think, "Oh, man, look at this foyer. The kids messed it up again, and I just can't go to work today without this being cleaned up, so I'm getting out the vacuum. I know I won't be able to have time for prayer, but I'll pray on the way to work." And so you get out the vacuum, right? Okay, maybe you don't. But maybe there's something else that comes between you and the Lord in the mornings, and you figure, "I'll just pray on the way to work." Until that guy who's texting in front of you is just sitting at the light, and you honk your horn, but his music is so loud, he doesn't even hear your horn blow, and he sat all... Oh, if he had sat through the whole light, that'd have been one thing, because then he would have waited too. But no, just as it's about to turn yellow, he goes through the light and leaves you sitting there. And there goes your prayer out the window. And you get to work and you're unhappy. And you get there and you find that the secretary left this pile of stuff on your desk. And it's like, oh, you have got to be kidding me. Is your day anything like that? I hope not. So what do you do? How do you get ready? A little more time with the Lord. A little more time in the Word. You'd spend time with God, I'd like to think. But there was one more example. Do you remember those sheep and the goats thing? The sheep and the goats. How did they get ready? How were they ready? Did they just cloister themselves up? Make sure they went to church each Sabbath? Make sure they did all the stuff to make sure they were ready? But ignored everyone else? Is that what they did? I wonder if there were some goats that knew their Bibles. What do you think? I think there might be some goats that know their Bible. I wonder if the devil knows the Bible. Any thoughts on that? Yeah. I figure pretty sure he's goat. What do you think? But he knows his Bible. Wait a minute. How can that be? Do you think there were ever any goats that prayed? Think goats ever spent time praying? Talking with God? I seem to remember a conversation in the book of Job, don't you? The devil talking with the Lord. He's having a conversation with God. I mean, he's talking to God. That's a good thing, huh? He's still a goat. Right? So evidently there's more to this than just Bible study and prayer. Just knowing, just going through the motions is not enough. Just knowing stuff is not enough. Just spending X amount of time, not X plus 2 minutes even, but X amount of times, hey, I've done my thing. Somehow that's not enough. There's more to it than that. Reading from 9th Testimonies, page 106, it says, we need the converting power of God to take hold of, I'll give you your choice of two pronouns, are you ready? We need the converting power of God to take hold of, one of two, them or us. What do you think? You guys are sharp. Yeah. We need the converting power of God. Wait, we're already converted, right? We're here. We're here. So we're all past that, right? We need the converting power of God to take hold of us, that we may understand the needs of a perishing world. The burden of my message to you is, get ready, get ready. Do you remember last night he said that? You remember that? I was surprised. It's like, hey, you've been reading my sermon notes. It's right out of 9th Testimonies. The burden of my message to you is, get ready to meet the Lord. Get ready to meet the Lord. And then she goes right to one of these examples we're talking about. She says, trim your lamps. Trim your lamps. But you see, it's not just trimming the lamp so I can see where I'm walking, and it's all about me right here. It's not about me. It's not about getting me to heaven. Getting ready is not about me. Getting ready is not about saving me. Getting ready is not about what I can do to make sure I get there and forget about you. If you want to hang on to the coattails, you're welcome to, but buddy, I'm going to make it, and that's all I'm concerned about. That's not what we're here for. Ninth testimony, get ready to meet the Lord. Trim your lamp. It glows brighter if it's just you. It doesn't need to be that bright. Get ready. Trim your lamp. Let the light of truth shine forth into the byways and the hedges. Brothers and sisters, the message of the virgins is not about, oh, these were stupid and these were wise because they got themselves to the party. The message is, who are we taking with us? Who do we care about? Is it really that we understand the needs of a perishing world? Let the light of truth shine forth into the byways and the hedges. There is a world to be warned of the near approach of the end of all things. You and I have been tasked with that. That parable of the sheep and the goats is about reaching out to others, helping others know Jesus and what he is like. That's what this is all about. It's not just about me getting me to heaven. Our part in this is to be part of the solution, not just to have the solution applied to me. We're to be like Jesus. Surprise, surprise. We could be surprised, brothers and sisters. We could be surprised. Because all along, we've felt that we have the truth. And don't get me wrong. We need the truth. Without the truth, how are we going to share it with anyone else? But there's more to it than that. If we take the truth and we put it to our bosom where it belongs, and we fold it to ourselves and keep it locked up, are we really like Jesus? Are we really loving like he calls us to be? Are we really, in fact, even giving the message of the three angels? Are we doing that? Because last time I heard, that was the work of the end time people of God, is it not? To give that, thank you. It's for all of us to give the message of warning to the world. Let's turn there. Revelation chapter 14. I take us back there again week after week, brothers and sisters, so that we can catch a vision for what God would have us to do. Revelation chapter 14. Could we be surprised? Revelation chapter 14. Take a look at verse 6. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, "Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment will come." Huh? Has come. You mean like already here? Already now going on? Well, what kind of a crazy church would preach that? Yes, thank you. Out of the mouth of babes, he says, this church. Absolutely. Praise God. That's our message. The hour of judgment has come. How can I be absorbed in everyday, day-to-day living? How can I be totally unaware like the master of the house? How can I be a drunken servant watching TV until it makes my eyes fall out? How can I be like the virgins just snoozing along? How can I be like that if I know it has come? I'm cruising down the highway, 85 mile an hour, it's raining. Boom! Suddenly, the accident has come. Did I just continue to drive like this? No way, man, it was, right? I'm scared to death, I'm preparing, I'm doing stuff differently than I did when it had not yet come. Maybe if I had done better while it had not yet come, it wouldn't have come, but that's a different parable. Because we're not stopping the coming of Jesus, right? It's coming, and coming soon. If we believe the Bible, right? It's coming soon. And so the same is true for you and I, that we have a message that the hour of His judgment has come already. Can you hear the three angels screaming the same message of Matthew 24? Be ready, be ready, get ready, get ready. It's the same message. It's the same message. Watch and be ready. Look at the second angel's message. Another angel followed, verse 8, saying, Babylon is going to fall. Is fallen. Already a done deal. This is not something that's going to take place. This thing is already fallen. And yet we're content to leave people in a burning building. How can we do that? Imagine you get up in the middle of the night. You go to get a drink of water, right? You go to your sink, you pour the water, and it's like, wow, I can see the... Where's all that light coming from? Whoa, what's going on out there? And you go over and you peek out the window in the dead of night, and your neighbor's house is on fire. Oh, bummer. Let me look around my house, make sure it's not on fire. Okay, good. Let me head back for bed. Is that what you're going to do? Make sure my house is cool? Make sure I'm okay? Is that what you're going to do? How come we do that in spiritual things? Hey, I'm having my Bible study. I'm learning about the Lord. I'm praying. I'm doing all these things so I can be ready and I can be there when the door is shut on those virgins. I'm going to be ready. How come we're content with that? Somebody, please say we're not. Thank you. We can't be content with that, can we? We can't be content with that. God has a work for us to do to warn the world. That's why we've been called into existences of people, to warn the world, to love others enough to get out of our house, to go next door, to tell our neighbor, hey, wake up, your house is on fire. Right? That's why we're here. That's why we've been called into existence, to warn the world. The end is coming. There's a perishing world. Don't believe me? Open the ledger. Look at it. There's obituaries in it every single day. Do we care for those people? Do we love them enough to make a difference in the way we live? Do we care? We need to make a difference. The three angels are there to scream, get ready, get ready, get ready. There are people in our world who think this will never happen to them. They'll just keep sailing right on. Everything will continue as it always has. Maybe it happens slowly, like your bank account draining away. Maybe it happens quickly, like a car accident. Maybe it grows slowly, and you never know it, and then suddenly you're made aware, like cancer. But in any case, people in our world are dying. Our work as the bearers of the three angels' message is more than simply to preach to ourselves, to spend time with ourselves. Those are important things, don't get me wrong, but there's more to it than that. Just as the sheep and the goats could not be ready without ministering to others, neither can we. That's part of our work. That's who we are. That's why we're in this world, to be like Jesus to others. And so this week I invite you to live like you believe it. To live like you believe that Jesus is coming soon. To live like you believe in Seventh-day Adventism. Because that's who we're supposed to be. To help be ready yourself. You can't neglect that. I'm not asking you to neglect that. I certainly am hoping you are personally getting ready. But beyond that, we need to help others get ready as well. So this week, I invite you to pray for your neighbor. Pray for that person at the office that you've been meaning to talk to, but just haven't gotten to it. Pray this week. And see if God won't open up an opportunity for you. To see if God won't make that opening for you this week. I wonder if you will do that with me. To make a plan in your hearts and your heads right now. Maybe the Holy Spirit is suggesting something to you just now as to who you might talk to, as to where you might come in contact with someone who needs to know this world is passing away. If you would be willing to do that, I invite you to stand. To make a difference, to live like you believe it. To tell others about Jesus. That's what it's all about. That's what we're here to do. To lift up Jesus.